He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you as always. Glad to be here on this Wednesday. A lot to get into today. PGA Championship coming our way at Southern Hills just down the road. We've got a big update on the new 2K20 video game tomorrow. The TaylorMade Driving Relief is this weekend. We've got the Tiger Slam now. New Golf Channel documentary coming out on May the 24th. So a lot to get into today. Reminder to find us on social media. The 73rd hole. Search the 73rd hole on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You will find us. Like, follow all those pages. And take a couple minutes, rate, and subscribe this podcast wherever you may be listening. Shout out to our great sponsors, McCray Roofing and Bushwood Country Club down in Chickasha. We usually try to get down to Chickasha for one round a week, but not so much weather permitting this week.
No. Yeah, you know how it is living in Oklahoma, and we just kind of never know what's going to come our way. You know, it's middle of May now, and yesterday I was having to wear a jacket and jeans and feel like I was bundled up by a heater, you know, because of how cold it was. And then, you know, a week ago it was 97 degrees and I was sweating my balls off. So, you know, it's kind of a hit or miss time right now. But for everyone who's out there, you know, if you have a good day to go out and play, definitely strike on it, because you never know, you know, when it'll come and go.
Yeah, exactly. Especially during the month of May. So let's dive in here. Big announcement yesterday, the PGA Championship at Southern Hills in 2030. This is obviously huge news for Tulsa, for the state of Oklahoma, and for Southern. Southern last hosted a PGA Championship that was won by, who won that year?
Some no name, I think, that won that
year. Yeah. We'll look it up.
Yeah, some no name. Yeah, just some. I don't think he ever had made a good career out of what he did. No.
Yeah, that was Eldrick Earl Woods. Took it down in 2007.
2007. Yeah, yeah. I remember it. Me, my dad, and my late grandpa. We all went up there, and that was the round that Tiger had shot. He shot 63, which back then 63 was the record. 62 would have broke the record. No one had shot 62 in a major before, and he had about a 15 footer on the last hole and did about a 360, if not bigger, lip out for the record. I was standing there on the green, one of my best memories of not playing golf but obviously watching golf, and it was just truly tremendous. And 2030 PGA Championship, Tiger will be 54 years old, we calculated it the other day, so I think he has a great chance to defend.
Tiger will be 54, Charlie will be 21.
That's a 21. Isn't that when Tiger won the 97 Masters by 12 shots?
That is when Tiger won the 97
Masters by 12 shots. So Charlie's going to win by probably 11, because he doesn't want to do better than his dad did?
What if Charlie wins by 11, but he's in the final group with Tiger? Just on cruise control.
We threw out those speculations yesterday. Wouldn't that be something? Because I know whenever we talk about like the NBA, they talk about old Bronny James coming out and playing, coming up with LeBron James, you know, and seeing what that would be like, you know, a father-son. So you never know. There may come a day where we see Tiger and Charlie out there at the same time.
Which would be absolutely awesome. It would be incredible. I also said, you know, for Oklahoma State fans in the area, I mean, that's going to be about prime career time in 2030 for Victor Hovland, Matt Wolf, and Austin Eckroat. All those guys are going to be, you know, just 30 years old, 31, 2 years old. That's going to be kind of some prime golfing time for some Oklahoma State guys who are just now starting to cut their teeth.
Yeah, and even the Oklahoma guys. Yeah, you mean our Taylor Gooch, you know, he's going to be right around that age too, you know, where he's going
to
be coming
in. He's a little closer to our age, so he'll be 38-ish probably at that time, but still, I mean, 38, that's a good time to win a major.
I know he has a good record around that course, so do a lot of the other good Oklahoma players around here, and not to mention all the great players that either OU or OSU could recruit before then, have some young guns that come up there, because it does set up well for good Oklahoma players, because the wind's going to blow more than likely in, well, it's at the PGA now, so it'll be in May. So, you know, with the weather that we have now, you kind of never know what we'll get, you know, at Southern, you know, but we know that the course will be in great shape. We got a little bit of insight. One of my really good friends, shout out Cody Burrows. He caddied up at Southern Hills when he played golf at Oral Roberts, was their number one man ever since he stepped on campus. And so he got to see all of the insights of the course before and after the renovations from the Gil Hants. And there's been, I got a chance to play it quite a bit of time, not quite a bit, little less than 10 probably, and
I got a chance to caddy there.
And Colby can attest, it's one of the most beautiful, it's by far my favorite course I've ever got to play, and it's one of the most beautiful places on earth.
It's pretty incredible.
And I'm so fascinated to see the redesigns firsthand, to see if, you know, because when you have something that's so great and beautiful, it's like, you know, do you try, you know, obviously everything can be improved a little bit, but, you know, do you take away from what was good about it? But I think from what I've heard and from some of the descriptions we'll give here in just a little bit, you know, I think that they not only kind of redesigned the course for the modern game, but they also went back to a little bit of kind of the Perry Maxwell original design, which Perry Maxwell, one of my favorite designers, so famous, so many great courses around this area specifically, and help was a co-designer or kind of a consultant, I guess you would say, with Augusta National. So he has a little bit of track record under his belt. So, you know, kind of finding that happy medium between going back to what was the original design and developing to the modern game where guys hit it 330 off the tee box now. I think it's going to... They definitely did what they needed to do to get a championship like this. And in 2021, we'll have the, is it the senior U.S. senior PGA?
It's the senior PGA.
PGA, that's right, yes. So we'll have kind of a little bit of a taste, if you will. Still, we'll have 9 years after that.
You better believe we're going to senior PGA.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, so we'll get an up close and personal look at the changes and how they play for some of the game's best, because the senior PGA, these aren't hacks. These are, if anybody went to the senior U.S. Open at Oaktree National in 2014, these guys can play. By the way, yesterday, two players, just kind of a sidebar here, two players became eligible for the Champions Tour with their 50th birthday. Any guesses?
Let me see. Is it one VJ?
Nope. VJ was already eligible. VJ's 54.
He's way older. Yeah, boy, that was bad. Yeah, because he played on Champions.
A lefty who won the Masters.
Okay, so Mike Weir?
Mike Weir,
there we go.
Mike Weir.
You tried to get me with that lefty thing. I see you there. And then who's the other one?
His swing's somewhat similar to mine.
Furyk?
Jim Furyk?
Are you serious?
Jim Furyk turned 50 yesterday.
That makes me feel old. Wow.
Jim Furyk turned 50 yesterday. He led the PGA Tour last year in driving accuracy.
That is not surprising.
He hit like 80.2% of the fairways last year.
Dude, that's
asinine.
It's the ultimate example of it's kind of like what Jim Woodward was talking about on our last podcast. You know, don't care about what it looks like. Just care about where it goes, you know, and trying to figure it out. You know, mouth wolf swing's way messed up. And that ball's going straight long. Like I said, Jim Furyk he's shot two sub-60 rounds on the PGA Tour. The only player to have done that. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. And he does not hit it further than a lot of players do that are like five handicaps.
No.
You know, it's not like he's bombing these courses away. He's just pinpoint accuracy using extremely great course management, like we've talked about over how many episodes. And also, too, you know, just the flat stick is just unbelievable. So, I mean, Furyk, he may be, what is he going to be? He'd be 60 at the PGA. And so maybe he'll do like what Tom Watson did at Turnberry and choke on the last hole to lose in a playoff.
You think Furyk will play in the senior PGA next year? He's still too good on the tour, isn't he?
Yeah, it's tough, you know, with those guys.
That'd be awesome if he did.
It's kind of just what they, you know, what they want to do, kind of, you know, what are their aspirations? Do they feel, is it a prideful thing? Do they still feel like they can compete on the tour, or do they just kind of want to enjoy the game and go out and have fun? Or
we should get to watch like Stricker next summer, though.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, he's already gone out there and light up the championship. Right? Yeah. If Bernhard Langer will ever give him a chance.
Gosh, that guy's never going to fall off, it seems like.
I think he could be 80 years old out there and still win.
It was crazy, too. Whenever we talked to Jim Woodward on Monday, I was looking at some of the old leaderboards that Jim Woodward was on, and it was like Bernhard Langer's name was just littered all over these leaderboards. And I'm like, this dude, he's still doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just talk about a game that's lasting, you know, and going to be able to you know, what is he, 60-something now or almost 60?
Yeah, I don't 60. Even know.
And, I mean, he's up there. And just truly remarkable. And so, kind of like we were talking about earlier, I want to go over some of the things that I had, some of the pinpoint.
Bernhard's 62, by the way.
62, okay, perfect. And, God, can you imagine being that good at golf at 62? Holy moly.
I hope I can still stand up and swing the club at 62.
I was about to say, I hope I'm not 6 feet under at that point. But some of the things that I noticed off of some of the insight that I received over these southern changes, essentially, it's going to be a really long course if they want it to be. There's a lot of holes. They moved the tee boxes back on. They pushed a lot of bunkers up to where you're going to have to, you have longer force carries for some of these big bombers out there, so they can't just overpower the course. You know, all the par threes can play over 230 yards.
Which, by the way, for the pros, I mean, a lot of these guys will pull out 4-iron depending on the wind. But if you're just like an average Joe and you go out and you walk up to a 235-yard par three, you got problems.
Well, and it's kind of, it's like we mentioned earlier, you know, the PGA being in May now, Oklahoma weather. I mean, we had a 20-mile-an-hour north wind the other day. What happens if you – I don't think the PGA would set up a 230-yard par three into a north wind. I just think that I don't – you know, they're not – it's not the U.S. Open or anything like that. So they'll definitely mix around the tee boxes. But
the PGA – what weekend was the PGA originally scheduled for?
For
this year.
For this year, it would have been sometime in May, second week or third week of May.
So it would have been right around now.
Yeah, right around now. Yeah. This was when the PGA, or when it was at Bethpage last year, was right around this time.
Yeah, weather's completely unpredictable.
I mean, you have no chance. I mean, we just have no idea. And I mean, we can go into, you know, was that a good schedule change or not? But that's a whole different topic. But so, yeah, that would lead to, you know, just kind of maybe some question marks just how the weather will come into play. Because I remember when the PGA was here. Last time it was just so hot every single day. I mean, it was the first time I ever legitimately remember the tour, or I guess at that point it would just be the PGA of America, considering to allow the players to wear shorts because it was so hot.
Yeah, I read about it yesterday, and they were saying well over 100 fans dropping like flies is what the Golf Channel article said yesterday about the 07 PGA.
It was it was so unbelievable. I mean, we know what it's like to be in summer in Oklahoma. I mean, if it's 100, and not only that, it's humid too. So, I mean, it's just so hot and blistering. We mentioned it on one of our shows. Tiger was just hitting irons down there because the ball's just running forever and it's hot. So, you know, if we can get a little bit of a chillier weather, you know, gets a little bit of north wind, play that course as hard as it can, might play even closer to a U.S. Open than a PGA Championship.
Yeah, and one of the things is moving it to May, I think you could maybe make an argument that allows some place like Southern Hills to get more consideration, because even though the weather might be a little unpredictable, you know it's not going to be 110. And if you hold the PGA in August, look, I didn't like the schedule change. I like the PGA in August. But if you hold it in August, then they are likely to avoid certain venues due to the fact that it could be 110 or 115 degrees. And this gives somewhere like Southern probably more of a chance to be considered more regularly for something like this. Real quick, let me just run down the venues, and then we'll get to some of the changes at Southern. So this is where we're going to be at for the PGA Championship for the next decade or so. So in this year, obviously, is supposed to be at TPC Harding Park. We'll see. We will see. That's certainly, I don't think at this
point. What date
any kind
is it scheduled for? Is it scheduled for October?
August 6th. Through
9th. It's August now. Okay, that's
yeah,
right.
Which
they rescheduled everything, so I'm trying to get it figured out.
Yeah, so I don't know. Who knows where the PGA gets played this year? 2021, Kiowa. 2022, Trump Bedminster. 2023, Oak Hill. 2024, Valhalla. Any history at Valhalla?
Just a smidge. Sure. Just a smidge. A little bit of Ryder Cup action there, too.
Tune into the Tiger Slam, May 24th.
We'll get a little bit into that with the documentary coming up.
2025, the only year that is not yet determined. TBD for 2025. So submit your bids.
Yeah. So throw in your bids. Yeah, see what you can get. I would love to see just some of these elite golf courses. And I know they just because they don't want to host a tournament, you know, and have
Cypress
all these
points.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Cypress Point for those who couldn't hear me.
There's so many logistics to go to it. There's not enough crowd room, and the course doesn't want. And there's all kinds of different logistics to go
Screw
into.
The crowds. No fans.
We might be heading that way. That's how we're going to be in these next few tournaments. Speaking of that, before we go down, I saw a thing yesterday where the PGA Tour sent out like a 30-something page memo about, you know, safety and, you know, how they'll be constantly testing all their players and caddies, I'm assuming, as well.
Yeah,
and
everybody will be tested on site. You'll have to be tested before, like 24 hours before you get on the planes that they're going to have ready to go. There's going to be, I believe at the first tournament, there's going to be 40 media members. There's going to be only essential personnel. Caddies will be allowed to handle the flag sticks and the rakes, but they'll be required to have like wipes, like sanitizing wipes that they wipe them down with immediately after they handle them. So it's going
to
be,
well, that's an extra caddy duty. That's not any fun.
Yeah, exactly. But caddies won't have to pull clubs because they're encouraging players to pull their own clubs.
Huh? That's it.
Which, by the way, if the caddy's carrying the bag, if the caddy's breathing on the bag all day, are we, if they've both been tested, player and caddy, the day before for Corona, are we really, Why can't the caddy pull the club?
Well, and I don't want to get down even a deeper rabbit hole, but we've been playing golf for how many ever years total between the two of us, and before any of this stuff happened, did you once think about germs on any golf-related item?
No, never. I do now.
I never thought about people touching a rake, a flag, especially a caddy touching a club. I mean, I had thought about you know, certain instances, you know, obviously in clubhouses or stuff, you know, doorknobs, but you do that everywhere. You know, I'm talking about, you know, like actual golf items, yeah. You know, or reaching your hand into a cup, you know. I remember a few years ago when Sergio got that, got ripped for spitting in the cup of the hole at the, on the European tour. And
arrested for that now.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah. So, I mean, it goes to show, you know, that, you know, unless it gets pointed out, you don't really think about things like that. And it's not only going to change the game, but the whole world in general. But yeah, I want to get into.
So real quick, let me finish this list here.
Yeah, finish the list. Sorry.
So 2026 is friend of the show, Sam Humphrey's favorite course, Aronimink.
Awesome. So
that'll be fun. Awesome. Be a lot of fun. 2027 PGA Frisco. Count me in.
Okay.
Count me in. Might be able to make the short drive down to Frisco. 2028 Olympic Club, which Jim Woodward's favorite course. Mm-hmm. Was just on Monday, friend of the show. 2029 Baltistrol, 2030 obviously Southern Hills, and then 2031 Congressional. So that's where we're at for the PGA Championship.
Name of course there. There was a couple on there. I had not looked at the list. I knew a few. I knew Kia was coming up. Hadn't seen some of those other ones. That'll be interesting. I'd like to see Romanek and TBC. I was really interested to see that one on there.
TBC Frisco?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that'll be a blast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, this is that's going to be a good stretch there, and that'll lead us up to 2030. And it seems like so far away now, but I remember this day back when 2004, 2005, when Tiger was – that was right when he was, you know, shooting for Jack's record, and we were counting down, like, the next 10 years – like, exactly what we did now with every single major, trying to figure, okay, where's Tiger going to win at? Where's he going to win at? And it'd be, like, 2010 U.S. Open Pebble Beach. Oh my God, that seems so far away. And then it was like 2019 US Open. I'm like, oh my Lord, how fun, you know, that's so. And then, you know, that was last year. You went to it, you know. Yeah. So, and I feel like I remember the exact moment where I saw that. And I was like, oh my God, that was so long ago, but it'll be here before we know it.
It'll be here before we know it. Absolutely. So let's dive into some of these changes with Southern Hills. Southern Hills is a phenomenal golf course. I love it. I haven't gotten to play it. Taylor, 1 year in the state AM, did very well, advanced to the quarterfinals, I think, maybe. And so we got to see the course several times that year, and it was just an absolute masterpiece. So go ahead and take us through some of the changes.
Yeah, so some of the things I've noticed here, they've kind of done what the new modern courses are doing now, where they've kind of made some collection areas off on some of the greens, you know, kind of shaved down some rough. That way the ball kind of rolls down. You have to, you know, like kind of what we were talking about, the little three-wood putt, you know, that might be an option for a lot of those shots.
Basically, instead of the ball hanging in some rough 8 feet off the green, it now rolls down, and now you're 25 feet off the green.
Exactly, yeah, and you're way below the green surface, so you have to hit it higher or else the ball's just going
to
roll.
Or you have to keep it on the ground.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, or bumping into the hill. So you'll have to use some creativity there. Obviously they've implemented these new greens, so obviously when new greens get put in, not that the foundation hasn't been officially settled yet, so by 2030 I think, you know, we won't have a problem with that. But I remember when on my college team, when we practiced out at Oak Tree Country Club, and they had just put in new greens probably a year and year and a half before I went, and every single year I was there, you gradually saw the difference in how softer the greens got, just because every, you know, the dirt and the foundation, everything was just settling, you know, before, instead of it just being, you know, hard rock like the concrete like in your driveway. So I think that'll be good, but right now from what I hear, it's playing extremely tough just because it's so hard to hold those greens. And they were able to shave down some areas around the greens, and also pinch in some little bit of the corners, you know, that overhang the bunkers, kind of narrows up your landing spot a little bit, which you know, you're making this course longer, you're narrowing your landing spots. You know, this course was no pitch and putt by any stretch of the imagination beforehand, and all these changes, all they've done is make the course more difficult. And from what I've seen, it seems like they've gone more back to, just like I mentioned earlier, kind of the modern game. You know, they moved some creeks around, you know, to where they're a little bit more in play, which probably goes into the historical original Perry Maxwell design. So from everything I'm hearing, I'm really excited about what Gil Hance did at Southern, and hopefully, you know, it'll be able to transcend to these players, because I know it always has a good reputation with the tour players, just because it's such a class course. You know, it's like we talk about, you know, you hit the good shot, you'll be rewarded, bad shot, you'll be penalized.
So part of the new renovation, and this is phenomenal, and Augusta has this, and it's great that Southern has it. So it's what's underground, what you're not going to be able to see.
Mm-hmm,
so during the restoration, Southern installed 200,000 feet of tubing underneath the greens for heating and cooling, which essentially, as far as I what I understand, can be done like from an iPad, and you can heat, you can cool the greens, you can apply moisture to the greens, you can always have access to that. So, I mean, it is a state-of-the-art hydronic system, and they're going to be able to essentially control the subsurface temperatures of it's bent grass greens. They're going to be able to control the subsurface temperatures at all times, which is, I mean, you talk about innovation. That is the elite of the elite have that.
And Southern is the elite of the elite. And I do believe that was the main cause for these changes, when they implement that system in. That way they could be able to moderate their course and the conditions. And because, like you said, I mean, just how much, it doesn't matter, you know, the cream de la cour, whatever, how much better your course is going to be for having something like that. You know, it's like, it's almost like it takes care of itself. You know, it's like, I remember, it's very similar to the Augusta system, you know, where it up, you know, probably updates every 10 seconds or whatever it is, you know, telling you where each green is, you know, and you'll know. You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of great courses over the years. You know, you'll go out and play, and in the summer, especially around here when it gets hot, you know, there'll be burn spots, you know, where, you know, the grass will start to be turning, you know, like if it starts turning purple, that's when you know it's real bad, you know.
And they'll or we've all seen the guy walking around with the little handheld stake and punching it into the green to check the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ain't doing that at Southern.
No.
At Southern, you're logging in with your username and your password, and it's popping up your moisture and your temperatures for all your
greens. And just showing every, I mean, that's, it's just phenomenal, and it just goes to show how tech, you know, people are rip on technology because they say that it's, you know, made the game too long, and that's a whole nother topic for another day. But this type of technology does nothing but make the game better.
Yeah, absolutely. So Southern's going to be a blast. Like you said, they've definitely added some length. The par threes can play pretty long. They've moved some bunkers. I'm looking right here. They've moved some bunkers on number one from the right side to the left side. Made that hole a little bit more interesting. And now there's a new split fairway on two. And you and I were talking about two. I don't remember the course vividly, but I do remember number two, which is a very difficult par four. And they've now taken out some trees and actually made it a split fairway with a creek in the middle, which... that's going to make it a really interesting hole, and I think kind of a fun hole for TV.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that one firsthand. I have not seen a picture of that, because that was one of the toughest par fours on the course and one of the toughest par fours, I believe, in the state, you know, depending on how the wind's blowing, because the landing area was so narrow and you would have a long shot in for your second. So I'm very interested to see how that hole turns out. It sounds like a great concept on paper, and I'm sure it works out. It's working out as good. As good off paper as it is on paper, or on paper as it is off paper, I guess,
right.
I should say. And one fun fact that I got sent too is that since the course is all new renovation, the new course record is 67 by one of my real good friends growing up, Charlie Saxon. So shout out Charlie. Hopefully he's doing
67 is the course record
right now. Yeah. Yeah. Since the renovations.
Since the renovations.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Since the renovations. So.
Okay. What was it before? Was it, had somebody topped Tiger 63?
I would not know that off the top of my head. I would assume that someone probably had, but it's kind of like when Kelsey said on his one show, some courses counted in a tournament competition, and you know, some will just be when you played. You know, like we saw Joe Damon shot 58 the other day, and he's counting that in his tour record, but I don't think he was playing any type of tournament or anything like that, you know. So it's like, you know, it depends on what the course says, I guess, would be the way to phrase it. So.
Absolutely. That's Taylor Williams. I'm Colby Powell. Glad everyone is with us on this Wednesday. Reminder, go check out Bushwood Country Club down in Chickasha. Max Stewart, new ownership, doing a great job down there. Greens are in phenomenal shape. This rain coming through is going to help green up the whole course, and having a big Memorial Day weekend tournament out there, two-man tournament, so head out there. Pool's going to be open, full bar at the pool. Head on down to Bushwood, tell them the 73rd hole sent you. We're going to take a quick break, come back on the other side. We've got a lot more to dive into in today's show. We're talking about the new 2K video game. We're talking about the Tiger Slam documentary coming out on Golf Channel, as well as the TaylorMade driving relief match between DJ and Rory, and then Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf. That's all coming up. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcrayroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back in here on the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams. Glad everyone's with us on this Wednesday as we're breaking down everything happening right now in the game of golf. Obviously, the big news yesterday was Southern Hills getting to host the PGA Championship in 2030. We're very excited about that. Also excited about the TaylorMade Driving Relief match coming up this Sunday between DJ and Rory and Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolff. Obviously, people around here will be rooting for Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolff. There's a whole lot of orange going to be on your TVs on Sunday. That's at 1 o'clock this Sunday. Taylor, the combined world rank of DJ and Rory is 6. Rory, number one player in the world. DJ, the number five player in the world. The combined world rank of Ricky and Matt Wolff is 137. Ricky's the 27th ranked player in the world. Matt Wolff is 110. Now, skins can kind of go any direction. DJ and Rory are favored. They're like minus 225, I think. I can get an exact number on that. But I think Ricky and Matt Wolff only like plus 160 to win the most money off skins. So, I don't know. Is the better bet with the underdogs?
Boy, it seems like, yeah, you would think plus 160. I mean, that seems kind of low. I thought it'd be high. I mean, I thought they would be closer to the plus 200 range than the plus 160.
I kind of did too.
You know, just because of that. So is it one of those things is Vegas know a little bit more than we do?
Here, let's go in here. Let's go to golf specials and let's see here. Wow, so it's actually moved Ricky and Matt Wolff's direction since I looked yesterday. Rory and DJ are minus 150. And, pardon me. This is just on hole 17 and 18. Let me find on the whole match. Oh, there's way more bets on here now than there were before.
Well, that just goes to show there's not that much content out there. So, I mean, there's prop bets. There's going to be all kinds of different action that we can get in on this if we want to.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Most money won on skins from skins on hole 17 and 18. Rory and DJ are minus 150. Ricky and Matt Wolff are plus 120. Will Ricky Fowler wear orange pants is a bet.
What's the odds on that? I got to hear.
So you're getting minus odds on both of them, but no, he will not wear orange pants is minus 125. Yes, he will is minus 105.
I'm going to have to lean on the no side. I think I'm going to lean on the no.
I think I'm leaning no as well. I don't think he'll wear orange pants. Most money won from skins on the front nine. Rory and DJ minus 150. Ricky and Matt Wolff plus 120.
Yeah, it just seems like, yeah, whenever you're jumbling down in such a smaller sample size, that brings what would clear be the underdog a little bit more into it. So, I mean, that's kind of more of a, you know, that's kind of like who's going to win the coin toss at the Super Bowl kind of bet thing there, you know? It's like, it's, you know, show me the overall and then maybe, but even then, you know, I think that, you know, just even 18 holes, you know, we'd see it in the match play tournament, you know? I mean, you know, it just takes one round to beat someone, you know, some guy can have a good day, some guy can have an off day. But one thing to say now to me is just all the money that they're playing for. And I think that's just fantastic.
Yeah. $3 million, for their charities. And then another million that's being put up by, is that Farmers putting up another million?
It sounds along there.
I think it is Farmers because that's who Ricky's with. I looked on, I think Monday, and there were like two props for this match. And there are now 20 props on here for this match. We've got long drive bonuses. We've got will all four players hit the fairway on the first hole? Minus 450 for no. That all four hit the fairway on the first hole. I don't know what the first hole at Seminole is, or that might be a good bet on yes if you think that they all four will hit the fairway. I don't know. It's tough for all four guys in a group to hit a fairway.
And we mentioned this when we were covering it the other day. We don't know what the wind will be like. You know, it's a Seminole ocean. So, you know, if we got a 25-mile-an-hour wind, it might be a little harder to hit the fairway. One of the things I see here, so they finally came out with the format details. So holes 1 through 6 will be worth $50,000 each.
Okay.
Holes 7 through 16 will be worth $100,000 each. A 17th hole will be worth $200,000. 18th hole worth $500,000.
Okay.
And it says right here, if the 18th hole is tied and play concludes before 5:45 Eastern, so 4:45 our time, they'll head to the par 3 17th and play it from 125 yards. If the teams are still tied, they'll return to the 17th hole, and then the deciding skins will be determined by closest to the pin contest.
Okay.
And then if it concludes after 4:45, the teams that are tied, they'll go to 17, just do closest to the pin from there.
Okay.
So it won't be like a Rick or with like a Tiger Phil thing where they're just going 6-7 extra holes with the lights on.
You know? We got a deadline. This is network television.
Yeah. This is a deadline. So we know when the end will be. But I mean, just – I tell you what, you know, we mentioned the other day, you know, about how the first six holes are the most important, but from this, I want to birdie 17 and 18 more than I do 1 through 6.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend birdie 17 and 18. So I'm assuming everybody kind of knows how skins work, but before I read this next one, skins are basically, you win the first hole, what you said, they're playing for 50K on 1 through 6, so if you win the first hole, that's 50K. Well, if they tie the first hole, then it rolls over to number 2. Number 2 is now worth 100. You tie again, you rolls over to hole 3. Hole 3 is now worth 150, so on and so forth. So I think a really good prop bet is what will be the most skins played for on any hole, over or under 3.5. Will 3 straight holes be tied at any point?
I bet there will be.
I think there will be, too.
I think so.
You're playing best ball, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I would think that there would be...
3 birdies in a row, right? For each team?
Yeah, you would think so, or even pars. I mean, yeah, so I would take the over there. But on a lot of these prop bets, you know, it seems like the other side seems so obvious, and you look back on it, and that's not the way it goes.
You're getting plus 140 on over 3.5. Plus 140. Minus 170 on under 3.5.
Man.
Surprises me.
That is surprising.
The under's a big favorite.
That is a big favorite. Yeah, I know it's only 18 holes, but... I mean, yeah, you tend to see some carryovers just because, you know, a lot of times, you know, a guy will have a six-footer for birdie and, you know, for the win of the skin and, you know, normally he'd make it, but with the pressure, you know, or not the pressure, you know, but it still is a little bit, you know, because you want to make the putt, you know, obviously for all the skins. I mean, if you have, so what was there? It's 3.5, right? So if you have 3 whole skin carryover,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that putt's worth a lot of money.
I mean, that's worth 150K. I mean, they could be playing for... 200,000 on the fourth hole.
Yeah,
they tie the first 3 holes.
Yeah, or if you carry over from, let's say you carry over 14. You say you carry over 15, 16, and then 17. I mean, that's 400,000 right there.
Right.
You know. Yeah. So I mean, it can be worth. I mean, obviously this is for charity and good cause. And from what I'm reading here, Rory and DJ, they're playing for the American Nurses Foundation, and Fowler and Wolf are playing for the CDC Foundation. Okay. So obviously great causes here. Great cause. Obviously going to be televised. We listed off all the places. Was it going to be NBC Golf Channel? Sky, it looks like NBC Sports Network, PGA Tour Live is going to be on there as well. I think so.
I think you can stream it.
I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, there's almost any avenue you can find, you're going to be able to watch it, which is great just because, you know, we're just all looking for quality content at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Taylor Williams. I'm Colby Powell. Glad everyone's with us here on the 73rd hole. So we got some more big news out of the golf world this morning, and that is that Golf Channel is releasing a documentary on Sunday, March 24th. That's the day of the match between Tiger and Phil, also Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. So basically, from our time is going to be, I think 2:00 is whenever the match starts our time. So, or maybe does it start 1:00 our time?
I have to look it up, but yeah, it's somewhere around.
Okay, yeah, 1 or 2 o'clock. 1 or 2 o'clock.
They're playing down in Florida, so it's probably whatever you saw was the Eastern time, and then it's behind.
Yeah, so it's probably a little bit earlier then. Okay, so then, what's the face? Tiger and Phil. So Tiger is going to have the Tiger Slam. That's the documentary. It's just called Tiger Slam. It's going to be Sunday, March 24th at 7:00 our time on Golf Channel. So you can sit down for an entire day and watch Tiger. You can have Tiger and Phil on for, you know, 4 hours that afternoon, maybe more, maybe less. They're actually going to be in carts, so it might be a little bit less. And then that night, get your popcorn ready because the documentary Tiger Slam is going to be out of this world. It's just about the four tournaments, the four majors from 2000 and 2001, obviously wrapping around to the 2001 Masters, where Tiger held all four major championships at one time. Just for fun, he was also the Players' Champion at the time.
Yeah, so if you say Ricky has the fifth major, you better say Tiger held all five majors at the same time. So if you're going to pick one, you better pick the other.
That was the better than most year. Better than most. Better than most.
How about in?
Yeah, so that was actually in 2001, just a few short weeks. Was that played in March or May?
That was back when it was March. It was before the Masters.
Yes.
I remember Tiger saying, leading up to the Masters that year at the Players, he tried to dye every putt in the hole because the greens at Augusta would be faster. So he was trying to get accustomed to that. And also, fun fact, the year before in the Players, 2000 was the year that Hal Sutton's famous call, be the right club today, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he beat Tiger on the last hole. So it was kind of cool that Tiger was able to come back in and close it out the next year. But
Sutton, Hal or Eddie?
Well, I think we know what I would say because Eddie used to kill my Sooners every year that they played. So
that's true. Also, Eddie never took down Tiger on a Sunday at the Players.
That's a good point. Oh, boy. And Hal also put Tiger and Phil together in 2004 Ryder Cup, which was the biggest disaster I'd ever seen. Not just on that, but, I mean, they lost by 8 points. I mean, something ridiculous. So, yeah, I'll go with Eddie. But, and also, too, didn't he just get recently inducted into the College Hall of Fame finally?
He did, yeah, finally.
After about...
Better late than never.
50-something years.
Yeah, after way too long.
Yeah,
way too long. So,
by the way, I looked it up. The match does start at 2 o'clock Central Time, 3 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, so yeah, 2 o'clock hour later.
Yes.
No, that's perfect because then we won't have as big of a gap between the match and Tiger Slam.
It's going to be just like flip right on over and there it is.
Yeah, I have not yet told my wife that our entire Sunday is going to be... She knows that the match is that day, but she's kind of hoping that maybe we'll just find some other things to do. We will not be finding anything else to do. We will be watching the match, and then she does not know yet, because it just came out this morning, she's working, she does not know yet that after the match is over, we will be able to unwind by watching a Tiger Woods documentary. Which is just going to be an absolute blast.
Yeah, you got to settle the nerves a little bit. But in your case, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to be denied permission, the way I see it.
Yeah, I figure maybe we'll go hiking that next day or something. Something that she enjoys that way, because we're going to have a whole day of what I enjoy. And this is, I actually have a tournament on that Saturday, too.
Well, maybe you should find something within the next couple of days leading up to the weekend to kind of build yourself a little credibility here. That way you'll have a chance.
Yeah, that's probably good. Probably good. Our anniversary is here in a few weeks, so
there you go.
I can plan something big for that, too.
There you go.
We can do it upright.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'll live it up. You always do. You always make her feel the way she deserves, which is fantastic. But going back to this documentary, I think it's going to be interesting at how, you know, just how they detail it and how they go about everything because, I mean, we went from, we'll just go through each major. So Tiger won U.S. Open by 15 shots, recently just put in the new Nike ball, which I believe was made by Bridgestone, but that's a whole nother story. So he put in this new equipment, wins by 15 shots. I actually saw a thing the other day. Bob Vokey was talking about how Tiger had, growing up, he'd always played X100 irons in his, or X100 shafts in his wedges. True temper dynamic, which are the stiffest ones you can get. And Bob Vokey convinced him to put in S400s, which is essentially just a little more flexible, a little bit more, give him a little bit more workability around the greens and kind of spin and get it up in the air a little bit. And he did that pretty much right before the U.S. Open, too. So he was changing balls, put these different wedge shafts in, and essentially just dominated the world.
And just went nuclear.
And went nuclear. And then.
Will we ever see anybody win a major by 15 shots again?
They asked that in the preview. Ever's a long time.
Ever's a long time.
Ever's a long time.
But that's 15's a lot of shots.
15's a lot of shots. I think it'll be hard just because one reason is because one of the famous things on that last day is when Tiger made that par putt on 16 and he gave that big fist pump because his big goal that day was to not make a birdie.
Not make a bogey.
No, I'm sure he was trying to make plenty of birdies.
Yeah, making a birdie would be a bad goal.
No, he'd be trying to lose at that point. And you could just see the intensity that he had. I mean, he just made a par putt when he was up 14 or 15 shots and gave a big fist pump, you know. And I think, you know, a lot of players now, you know, they'll get if someone does get an 8-shot lead or whatever going into the weekend, it's going to be more of a cruise control win by, you know, 9-10 kind of thing, even if you get that domination. But 15's insane. And then we transcend from there to the British Open, which, in my opinion, just from off of the film that I see, technically wise, I believe that's when Tiger's swing truly was at the best it ever was. And he that was actually the tournament where in 2000, his best year, the best year golf ever played, he said he hit one perfect shot. And that was at St. Andrews on the 14th hole, second shot, 3-wood. I mean, him and Stevie had picked out a line that he wanted, hit it right there. And on the call, you can hear it. And he says, "That the one you're talking about?" Tiger's talking to Stevie. "Is that the one you're talking about?" And he's like, "That's the one right there, Tiger." And then, but the thing was, it was just a 3-wood and it was like right in the middle of the green. It was like, I mean, it didn't go up to a foot or anything. It was like a 30-footer, you know? I mean, but it was perfect. It was the perfect shot because exactly how he visualized the contact, everything. So, and just the tempo that he had and the positions, that's when I believe his swing was the best. And went 72 holes around that son of a buck and did not find one bunker. That might be the most underrated Tiger stat out there, I think.
It's incredible.
One of those. And then we'll transcend it even to the next one. We have the Tiger Bob May shootout where these guys are both, I think they were both 18 under when they went into the playoff or they were something stupid low whenever they went in. I mean, it's not like, you know, they were kind of just butting heads. I mean, Bob May was tackling him. I mean, he was going after.
Yeah,
going
and one thing we saw in the preview for Tiger Slam is Bob May being interviewed.
Yeah,
and
so he'll be on there. That'll be very fascinating.
He said he basically kind of what he was hinting at in the preview for it was that, you know, he'll hear somebody say, oh my gosh, you remember 2000 whenever Tiger walked that putt into the hole from like 25 feet away? And he's like, yeah, that was against me.
Yeah. I had to be the one to endure that. And actually,
can you imagine standing on the fringe watching your opponent run in a 25 footer? I mean, Tiger took off when it was like 12 feet from the hole.
Well, and it was incredible, but we talk about most underrated things, Tiger. I believe, because if anyone who hasn't seen it, you will see in the documentary, on the 18th hole, Bob May makes like a 20 to 25 footer off of the fringe, like double, triple breaker, just hopping along the way and finds the hole. Could you imagine someone being tied with Tiger on the last hole and birdieing it, you know, now or, you know, back then? I mean, just think about how intense that was, you know, and did it on top of Tiger. Then after that, Tiger had to make a 6-footer left to right on bumpy greens on Sunday. I believe that we talked about Tiger's most underrated stat just earlier about the bunkers. I believe that's the most underrated putt he ever hit, because
you might be right.
If he missed that, the Tiger Slam doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, who knows what happens? He makes that 6-footer. I mean, that's a tough 6-footer too. And
yeah.
And I mean, you go back and watch on it. He had perfect speed on it. It didn't go in the center of the hole. It hit the left side of the hole. Didn't lip in or anything, but yet I believe that was the most underrated putt of his career. And then he goes on to do what he did on the 16th hole in the playoff. And then I believe on the very last hole on 18, which is a par 5, he hooked it way over left in the rough, then put it in the bunker, had to get up and down from the bunker, hit it up to about a foot, and then Bob May had about a 40-footer up and over the hill, almost went in, and that would have been even more intense there. But that was one of the more underrated performances of Tiger's career. And then to the last part of the Tiger Slam, which I believe could have been the most interesting tournament. Just imagine these three were the ones going down the stretch in 2001. Tiger, Phil, David Duvall.
Oh, yeah.
All down the stretch.
Oh, yeah. And this is the pressure, because the other tournaments, obviously, that's huge pressure. But you've won three major championships in a row, and you get to sit on that for 8 months. I mean, for 8 months, Tiger had to sit on it. And I think he actually went several months without winning a tournament in between. Because I was watching the Tiger Woods Chasing History thing recently where it goes through every win. And I'm trying to remember, he won the PGA and then maybe a playoff event. And then I think he had a bit of a dry spell where, well, basically it was a dry spell for Tiger. For anybody else, it would have been perfectly fine. But, I mean, you can pull it up and see when his wins were. Maybe he won it. Torrey, I know he wanted the Players, but it's not like he absolutely lit the world on fire in between the PGA and the Masters. There was a little bit of a gap between wins.
Well, so I remember this too. After the PGA, one of the documentaries when I was real younger that came out, there was like a 3-part series, and it was, you know, just chronicling Tiger. And one of the things that said in there was the day after Tiger won the PGA Championship, he was out on the range hitting balls that next morning because he was chasing that Augusta. You know, most people will, you know, take off a few days after they win, especially, or do like Darren Clark did and just get absolutely blistered and then probably not golf for another 4 weeks. So looking back on here, the end of 2000 may not go down what you were looking for, Colby, because it looks like he had some good success. But to start the year, going next year, I mean, for him, I mean, he's finishing 8th, 5th, 13th, 4th, 13th. And I mean, I know that's sounding like, oh, those are really great finishes. But for Tiger at the time, I mean, that you know, those were his worst finishes then, you know. So, I mean, there was kind of a little bit at the start of 2001, but the end of 2000.
So he went, I'm not talking about high finishes, I'm talking about wins. He went from September 10th to March 18th without a win. So, that's September to October, November, December, January, February, March. He went 6 months in between wins, in between the Tiger Slam, and then he wins Bay Hill. The very next week, he wins the Players. 2 weeks later, he wins the Masters. Boom.
Yeah, he started going off there. Yeah, I got it right here. So, yeah, the Canadian Open, I didn't realize that. The Canadian Open was actually after the PGA Championship that year. That in 2000, that was when he hit that great shot over the water.
Out of the bunker.
Out of the bunker against Grant Waite, former OU player. And then I actually did not know that was after the PGA. That's very interesting. And one thing, he won a European Tour event, the Johnny Walker Classic, at the end of 2000. But if we ask Paul Azinger, that one doesn't count.
That one doesn't count.
So we're not counting that. So, just in between there, I mean, he's getting, you know, top 15 finishes everywhere. But, you know, even for him, you know, he's kind of hopping around a lot of top fives and still. But yet still not winning, which is obviously his ultimate goal. And then he goes after that. So he goes, wins Bay Hill, like you said, wins the Players. Wins the Masters. Then after that, T3 Byron Nelson, and then one Deutsche Bank TPC over in Europe, and then won the Memorial that year. So, I mean, just...
Won the Memorial by seven.
By oh, gosh, dang it.
Over our good friend Paul Eisinger and Sergio.
And Sergio. Yep. Throw Sergio in there. So, I mean, you know, just I hope this documentary does a few things. One, that it highlights all of these moments that we just related to and how important they were, not only in this Tiger Slam journey, but in Tiger's overall career. And also, too, you know, it's you know, we get good, because, like, from the people that they showed on the preview, you know, like all the announcers that were there and everything, you know, who saw it firsthand.
And the competitors, Bob May.
And the competitors, yeah. Absolutely. You know, the people that were there and see it, you know, and how they, you know, how they personally, remember the event and how everything transpired and just, you know, his true greatness. And, I mean, even to this day, you know, we still hear stories about Tiger's greatness at different events or different, you know, just on the range talking with people, some of these other inside stories. So, you know, that's the stuff that I want to see. Or maybe even some more stuff come out, you know, like I found out through watching YouTube videos about, you know, Bob Vokey recommended the new wedge shafts to Tiger. Yeah. You know, stuff that we didn't
know.
Stuff
we don't know. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, to hear some more stuff like that or leading up to the 2000 U.S. Open. You know, just things like that. You know, learning. I don't want necessarily to be just a highlight reel. I want it to be more of insight, breaking everything down. Very similar to kind of what The Last Dance is, you know, right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And hopefully it's at least a two-hour show. I'm assuming it'll be a two-hour show.
30 minutes each major, that sounds appropriate.
Yeah, sounds about right. So, I mean, if they want to do 10 hours, then we'll watch 10 hours.
I think they could do 10 hours each major, so 40 hours. We could do a 40 hours. We could do a regular work week on a Tiger documentary.
Everybody's home right now anyway.
We might as well.
All right. We need to move on here because we're going to run out of time, and I really want to talk about this new 2K video game because Taylor and I are big-time golf gamers. But first, I want to remind everybody, storm season is here in the state of Oklahoma. Chances for big hail this evening coming through the metro area. You need to have McRae Roofing on your radar. Jeff McRae, the owner of McRae Roofing and a friend of the show here on the 73rd hole, views your roof like a canvas. His team's sole purpose is to create you a masterpiece of a roof, which brings out the beauty of your home and its surroundings, a beauty that will last for years to come. McRae Roofing, locally owned and operated. They are passionate about the quality of their roof creations. Visit them online, McRaeRoofing.com, and give them a call, 405-692-4000. That's McRaeRoofing.com, 405-692-4000. Tell them the 73rd hole sent you. Okay, Taylor, we have got a new video game coming out. 2K has bought the golf game?
What it was called. Yeah, I've been around, bought it last year, and they've been, I think the reason they didn't come out with the new one, they're kind of working on the, like, you know, like the PS5 and whatever the new Xbox is are coming out fairly soon, next-gen consoles. Yep. So I think they were kind of trying to wait on that to come out. It'll be very interesting to see what they bring. There's a lot of things that go into this that are different than some of the other games. You know, like, for example, anyone that plays Madden or 2K or whatever, you know, most of the time there's every single player that's in the league is on the game, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the difference between, you know, those other sports and golf, from my understanding, is, you know, those other sports have a players association, you know, like the NBA has a players association, NBA, you know, NFL, all that. And Rory made a phrase whenever they were talking about, like, the prestige golf or whatever it was when it came out, and he said, you know, as an independent contractor, I didn't, you know, he phrased himself as that, and I had never really thought of a golfer as that, you know. So, you know, whenever you get with these golf games, it's all a licensing issue because you have to get all of these different independent contractors to sign on to want to do it, you know. And, you know, I mean, if it was me, I mean, I don't see why any player wouldn't want to be in a game. I mean, you know, you can, it's really just marketing, you know, and also the thing too, we mentioned players, but, you know, equipment and courses too, you know. I don't know why an equipment brand wouldn't want to be on a game, you know, just because, like I said, it's free marketing, you know. So in the
let's use Callaway for example. Why wouldn't you want to be on the game? I can now get on the game. I can choose to play Callaway clubs and I can bomb it.
Exactly. And then you go out and maybe want to buy the Callaway Club, yeah, exactly. You know? And, you know, so there's these licensing things that are an issue. One of the things that we had talked about off there that we really want, and the golf club, the old game currently has this now, it's a golf course creator, which is something that's really, really cool. And it's actually very in-depth too on there, which I think is fascinating. I only have one qualm about a course creator, and that's, you know, I remember you know, back in the old games, you know, you had to, you know, unlock so many things to unlock, like the fantasy courses. You know, you had to get so much money, or you had to defeat someone, you know, in the challenge.
You had to get on the internet and find the cheat code.
Yeah, you had to find the cheat code, yeah, which we don't have anymore, right? And so, yeah, that's essentially what happened in video games. Cheat codes turned into microtransactions. So instead, now you pay $5 instead of just get the cheat code, you know, and that's one thing that I hope doesn't happen there. So my only qualm with a create a course function, which I hope they still keep and just kind of adapt into, is, you know, like, let's say they were, you know, let's say they were able to license out Augusta somehow or whatever. I don't think they will, but let's just say they could, you know. And then let's say, you know, you would need to grind throughout the career mode or whatever and win the Masters to be able to unlock Augusta to play, you know. And that's how I think that, you know, golf games should be. Well, all of a sudden, what if someone can just go on there and create a course and then just share it with everyone, like all the 2K games do, where it's just community shared things. So now all of a sudden, you don't have to work to unlock that course because you can just play it what someone made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do. Create a course that needs to be on there. I don't think it should be that difficult for video game designers. You know, I should be able to go in. I should be able to narrow the fairways, widen the fairways, place bunkers wherever I want to. Undulations on greens, greenside bunkers, ponds, out of bounds. You know, if I want to have a hole like at St. Andrews where, you know, the fairway runs into the OB stakes, I should be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that should all be part of it. You should be able to create whatever length course you want to. And if that's not on there, I'll be really disappointed. I didn't play the golf club. Most people who've played it said that the gameplay on it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's fairly realistic. One of the things that, I mean, it just irritates the living hell out of me so much, and I know why it does, but and it's transcended into the later golf games too. In the earlier games, it wasn't as bad, but it was still prevalent. Every golfer has the same swing. Every golfer does not have the same swing. There needs to be different swing animations that you can pick, you know, like if you have...
Yes, Matt Wolf.
Yeah, if you need Matt Wolf's swing, Ricky's swing, you know... You can get these golfers to license them, get their swings, like I remember in...
Even if you're using a generic golfer, you should be able to have a flat swing, an upright swing, like a Bubba type, but obviously it won't say Bubba on it, but it'll be an upright swing. And when the guy comes back, his foot will come off the ground. And you can have a hitch swing where a guy does a little hip hitch before he takes the club up. You can have a Furyk swing and a Tiger swing and a Rory swing.
Needs to be millions of different variations of that. And I mean, if you are able to license the golfer, then you can call it, you know, that swing or whatever. Right. And, you know, I don't know with technology, you know, anymore, but I would think there may be some type of way to where, you know, you can, like, record your own swing on, like, the front side and the back side, and then get your swing incorporated to your character.
Yeah, but then you hit less fairways and less greens.
Well, it's more of a cosmetic thing. Yes, I know. And one of the things I did was that, you know, 2K bought it, so the only 2K game that I'm real familiar with is 2K basketball. And so I don't have 2K20, I had 2K19. So I went back on and I just looked at some of the things that may be possible. And the amount of detail they have in there is incredibly insane. I mean, like, if you go in and create a player, you can get the animation of the jump shot, fadeaway shot, dunk animations of every single basketball player that's in the league, and except for a slight handful of them, of anyone that had been in the league previously. And just the amount of customization, you know, like they have different badges, you know, so like your character can have a certain trait that another player doesn't have, you know. And this game also needs to have attributes, which I think that the golf club doesn't. You know, you need to have it like a driving distance, you know, accuracy, putting, short game. And hopefully they can go deeper into that, you know, like we talked about, you know, maybe, you know, like long iron players aren't as good as short iron players, you know. So, you know, have those stats broken up individually. And then, you know, like the gameplay seems to be pretty good from what I see from a golf game. Obviously, anything can be improved. And there's obviously a lot of other things I would love to see from the game. And hopefully, the main thing is I hope they don't try to ruin it with the microtransactions like they've done with...
Buy your way to success.
You buy your way to success, yeah. Or you can... Yeah, just buy any other thing. And
I've got another big thing that they need to do to improve the game.
Bring it in.
I should be able to outfit my bag on a golf video game. If I want to carry 4 wedges and dump a wood, I should be able to carry 4 wedges and dump a wood. I should be able to pick the degree of loft of those wedges. I should be able to, if I want to have 2-degree upright irons, I should be able to have 2-degree upright irons. If I want to use a mallet putter, I should be able to use a mallet. If I want to use a blade, I should be able to use a blade. There should be, you know, if I want to have hybrids all the way to 7, I should be able to have hybrids all the way to 7. I should be able to outfit my bag on a golf game however I want to. It's just like in real life. In real life, I carry a 60-degree wedge, a 54, and a 50. That's my wedge setup. Everybody has different wedge setups. I only carry one wood. I carry a driver, a 3-wood, and a 2-iron. And then I go from 2-iron to 4-iron. If I want to do that in the game, I should be able to do that in the game. I should not be handed 14 clubs, and I have these 3 wedges. I've got a 3-wood and a 5-wood. I've got pitching wedge through 4-iron, and that's my only option. Yeah. That should not be my only option.
I completely agree. And some of the, like, Tiger 2010 to 2012, you know, kind of in that range, they had some settings like that, which was a lot better, where you could kind of de-loft your clubs or loft your clubs. And, like, if you normally missed the right, you could fix your bias. So it was almost kind of like a custom club fitting. So I definitely hope they incorporate something like that. That was obviously an EA game, and now we're going to 2K.
Right.
But 2K has had a tendency to do better than EA. EA over the last few years has slacked big time in their games. And
basically, once NCAA football went away, they were like, ah, the hell with it.
Exactly. Yeah, and even Madden, it seems like it's just the same repetitive game that comes out every year. But one of the things, too, that was, because you mentioned the club thing, and on the older golf games, this was extremely frustrating, too. So, like, each, you know, so obviously the higher, and it better be like this, too. I don't think the golf club does this on a level at all. And, you know, it's like you have a certain level of clubs, you know, so obviously the better club you get, the better increases your stats, right?
Yeah, more power, more spin, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly, and more action, everything. And in the older games, the best clubs were the clubs that, like, the 15 to 20 handicappers would use, you know, like the big cavity back Callaway, TaylorMade, Nike iron, whatever it was, and, like, the blade iron that all the tourist players used was one of the ones that you started off with or was the easiest thing to get. And it's like, I'm working so hard to get this, you know, thick blade iron that no tour player ever uses. So why is that the most highly ranked thing, you know? And it's just piddly widdly stuff like that, you know, that, and that goes back to it. I hope for the love of God that the people that are making this game at least know golf to somewhat of a level.
Yes. And another thing I want to see, just going back to the clubs, because this is kind of a hot button for me, is being able to outfit my bag. I should be able to earn XP, whatever it is, and buy all these different clubs and get the best clubs. And if I have enough XP and stuff, I should be able to buy myself an 8-degree, buy myself with XP, not with money, buy myself an 8-degree driver, a 9.5-degree driver, and an 11-degree driver. And if I'm playing a course that requires a lot of carry and very little roll, I'll throw the 11-degree driver in. If I'm playing an open championship and I need to get this thing on the ground and get it moving, let's throw the 8-degree in.
You know, that's the realism side of it there, you know, and that's what, you know, hopefully
again, that's people who know golf.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about. You know, you get these, you know, if you get people that don't, you know, the only golf move they've watched is Happy Gilmore that are making this game, you know, you're not going to get anything that's worth a darn, you know. And one of the things, and obviously this goes back to the licensing issue on what they can get. So the main reason the course creator will be so good is that you can create the golf courses that people don't license or that you're not able to license.
Yeah.
So then, like, you can go in and you can just play literally any course in the world. You know, like, we can go in and we can make Bushwood, you know, and a friend of the show, Bushwood, you know, we can go make that
by
course.
By the way, if there is created a course, we will make Bushwood and share it to the community.
Of course, 100%. There's no doubt about it. And then, so,
I
like,
take that stupid tree on 8 out, though.
Yeah, we'll make a few changes. But
Max, we're taking the tree out in the video game.
And then, so from there, you can, you know, just add all these different courses, Pine Valley, Cypress Point, all these courses that won't sign off to be in the game, you can create to somewhat of an extent. You know, it's obviously not going to be identical, but, you know, people go in and I've seen the videos. If people take their time on this, I mean, they make damn near identical. I mean, it's pretty crazy how good these things look. And so that's the biggest thing that can come from the creative course. And depending on how many independent contractors they can get for this game, which hopefully they can, I hope they can get over 100. I mean, that would be fantastic. I don't think they can, but it'd be awesome if they would. I would like to see some incorporation of, like, a team mode or, like, a, you know, like Madden has Ultimate Team, 2K has My Team, you know, where, like, you draw packs of players and, like, they have upgraded versions, you know, and then you could have, like, a college team, Ryder Cup team format kind of type thing, you know, where you – and then you play against other people's teams who have collected their cards, you know, like, you have your player in there and you have your other – how many ever player, you know, like, a college team would have 5, so you'd have 4 other players. Ryder Cup, you'd have 11 other, you know, and then, like, those other ones simulate or you can transfer between each. I think it'd be so cool to see, like I said, some type of team format, because, you know, seems like everyone who's played golf at a higher level talks about how much fun team events are because they don't happen that often.
And not only that, but now we've got the capability to play online with people around the world. Why would you not be able to enter some online pool and you and 11 other guys wind up on one team and 12 other guys wind up on the other team, and you have to schedule matches with guys on the other team, and you play against them in a Ryder Cup style format. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
It'd be fantastic. And there's so many different things, you know, like, and going back into it about the care and the people that know about golf, you know, like you get a game like 2K or in these other games, they're updated once a week minimum. You know, so,
yeah.
You know, I want to see regular updates. I want to see, like, if they have a thing with a club brand, TaylorMade, Titleist, Ping, Callaway, whatever it may be, you know, if they release a new club, put that new club in the game that week, you know, or have, like we talked about with the My Team thing, you know, if you have a golfer that won the tournament the week before, release a card version of him that he won, you know. They right. have, like, Team of the Week cards for Madden, you know, of, like, Lamar Jackson goes off, so he has a 95 rated card or whatever, you know, if Ricky Fowler goes out and win a tournament, his normal card's 89 or something, give him a 96 rated card or something.
I think that if you use Patrick Reed, there should be a button on the controller to improve the life.
Well, see, and that'll go under like the traits that we have, you know, so it'll be like cheater trait, you know, so automatically best lie possible in no yes. matter what situation.
Yeah.
So
you hit it in the rough, it's sitting up, baby.
He would be an OP character to say the least.
You hit it in the rough, it's sitting up. You plug one in the bunker, all of a sudden it's not plugged.
It's funny how that works. And the thing about it is, too, that's really realistic.
Very realistic, yes.
And so, and you know, just little things like that, just really the care for it. I'm interested to see how they would handle the season mode, you know, just how in-depth they go. You know, do you have to go through the you know, the Q School, Web, PGA, you know, how many events will there be? Because they can, like I said, it's a whole licensing issue. So that's really the problem. I feel like if they could license everything out, I feel like it would be a great game just because we'd get a lot more content. That's really going to be the thing that I look at during this time. And then, you know, this is kind of going to be their first real go around at it, you know. So I expect there'd be a few bugs at the start. Then we'll see how they fix them. And then I expect hopefully within – I don't think this game will be good, I think. I don't think it's going to blow anyone's socks off. But hopefully within 2 to 3 years, if they can keep it rolling, then they'll finally get the formula situated yes. and then make a kick-ass game, hopefully.
The idea is hopefully, like they have with NBA 2K20 and 2K19, hopefully we can get to a point where 2K is just ripping off elite golf games every year.
Yeah.
Because I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm all the way in.
Yeah. Yeah. And like we mentioned, you know, 2K's been getting kind of ripped for the microtransactions, and that's kind of the way that video game companies make their money now. So hopefully they don't try to tarnish our great game by trying to make money off of the weak-minded, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. That's Taylor Williams. I'm Colby Powell. Glad everyone was with us for another edition of the 73rd Hole. Reminder, oldest tournament in the state of Oklahoma, the Ouachita Valley, taking place at Bushwood this summer. Taylor, you in?
I'm in, baby.
I'm in.
I don't think, there's no doubt about it. I played every year. The only year I've missed it in the last 8 to 10 years, probably last 8 years, I injured my knee 1 year, a couple weeks before the tournament, so I wasn't able to play. Injury, and without an injury, I will be there.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be there. I'll be in B, maybe C flight, maybe D. We'll see what we can talk them into, what flight I can get myself into. Just, you know, improve my chances.
Well, yeah, you don't want to put yourself behind the eight ball before you start, you know.
Exactly.
So you know, competing for great prizes down there, so you know you want to have best chance that you can. But I think a great player like yourself will be closer to championship than you will be C flight.
Yeah, it'll be 6 flights plus championship flight and 15,000 in prizes going out for the Ouachita Valley this summer. That's at Bushwood Golf and Country Club down in Chickasha. Pool getting open, full bar. Max Stewart doing a great job down there. Shout out Bushwood. Shout out McCray Roofing as well. Thanks everybody for listening. Find us on social media. The 73rd. Take 2 minutes, rate and subscribe this podcast wherever you are listening. And make sure you join us next week. We'll be back with more 73rd Hole.